have I been parenting wrong? Mm. Have I given too much freedom? Did I just screw them up for the rest of their life? What is really going on? I thought, not that I had things under control, but I thought that there was a relationship established. I don't know. I thought that they understood our core values and our beliefs. And so I was like, what just happened? And why did it happen? Mm-hmm. And why did it happen on my watch?
Yeah.
And now, honestly, it's like, obviously some mistakes you keep quiet in the family.
Yeah.
You know, yes. which we are. But still, it's like, I feel a little different as a parent.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Today on the Messy Faith Podcast.
Well, hello, hello, ladies. Welcome to the Messy Faith Podcast, because
life is messy,
but God already paid the maid.
He did.
We're your hosts. I'm Emily Roth, and this is
Citricia Passion.
All right, ladies, and welcome back wherever you're listening to. We're about to dive in.
Today,
we are talking about when your teens make mistakes.
Wah, wah, wah.
I don't know about you. My teens don't make mistakes.
Who are?
Never.
How dare they?
Never. And you know what? If you don't have a teen or kids, you can stay on this episode, because what happens when somebody in your close circle makes a mistake, right?
For sure.
I think the principles and conversation we're going to have are translatable.
Yes,
I think so too. So stick around, my lady friends.
Yes.
Okay, let's dive right in. So Teresa, hit us off with the first question.
The first question is, how do we as parents manage feelings of shame and guilt when our teens make mistakes?
Wow, that was like so eloquent.
Aww,
you can read. You can read.
I can read. Really good.
For those of you watching on YouTube, we have upgraded it. We have now put my iPad with notes so that we can still have a conversation, but you know, just keep ourselves accountable. To stay on topic.
And it's like better than having a phone.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. We're going for professionalism here.
We're going for it.
Okay. So how do we as parents manage feelings of shame, guilt, when we start teens make mistakes?
I'm asking you that first.
I was like, gotcha. You little punk.
Sometimes.
Okay. So this might be, there might be a reason why this is one of our topics. Not that any of my teens have recently made a mistake. Not naming names, and good thing I have more than one. You'll never know who.
You'll never know.
But something, there was a mistake made, and it took me aback, and it made me reflect on, have I been parenting wrong? Mm. Have I given too much freedom? Did I just screw them up for the rest of their life? What is really going on? I thought, not that I had things under control, but I thought that there was a relationship established. I don't know. I thought that they understood our core values and our beliefs. And so I was like, what just happened? And why did it happen? Mm-hmm. And why did it happen on my watch?
Yeah.
And now, honestly, it's like, obviously some mistakes you keep quiet in the family.
Yeah.
You know, yes. which we are. But still, it's like, I feel a little different as a parent.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like thinking about, I don't know. So that's why we're discussing it, because I'm trying to learn this from you too. So if you guys got some tips, man, throw those in the comments below.
Yes.
Watching us on YouTube, come on, shout in, because we are mamas that she's just in the beginning of parenting teens. I'm in the throes of it.
Yeah.
In the beginning, in the middle, and I have a 17-year-old. So in the end of it, I'm literally in every stage of teenager. Holy goalie.
Yeah, which is the perfect place to be, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess I have no choice, because I have three of them. Anyway, so it took me a minute to figure this out. It took me a minute to figure out my own feelings about their choices and decisions.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say to that?
No, I'm joking. I'm just playing.
We're just going to leave everybody hanging. We didn't even answer this question yet. We're kind of just like letting you know our hearts right now, and then we can get into talking about it.
Yeah, no, that is, even before my children were teens, that has been the thing that has haunted me and tormented me in parenting is...
Like, because your children are supposedly making a direct reflection of you.
Yes. And I can say culturally that when your children I'll say in like the culture that I was raised in, when your children are acting up.
What culture
up,
is that? I feel like you're tiptoeing.
In Black culture, African American.
Come on.
I was like, you know, look at me. Oh, but I guess if they're listening.
Yeah, if they're listening, they don't know.
But in the Black culture, it's like when your kids are acting up, people are looking at the parents and they're like, you don't have no home training, or your parents, you know, like it's a direct result of the parents' parenting. Mm-hmm. And there's so much judgment of like, you let your kids, or look at your kids, or your kids are. So parents are like, growing up, you would hear your parents always say, you represent me. You represent me out there. You can't look crazy, or you can't be acting up because you're representing me. And so there's always been this pressure of making sure our children know how to act in public, because we don't want to be judged or look like we're not doing our job as a parent.
When you say it out loud, it sounds like it could give kids a massive complex.
Everybody, it the kids and the parents.
So emotionally unhealthy.
Yes.
Like,
it's the trauma.
Be a robot. And do exactly as it's almost like, don't be yourself. Be who I want you to be so I can look good.
Yes. You know why, though? And it always is going to circle back to this, so it just is what it is. Because as African Americans, we are judged a lot by the world. And so because we want our children to have a fighting chance, we need them to behave
extra
themselves
good.
And act. Yes, so that they can be treated with an ounce of dignity and respect. Because the moment an African American child is acting up at school or acting up at the store, it's not like, oh, the toddler years. It's like, look at that little thug over there. You know? He's already a thug at three. You know what I mean? So I think the pressure it doesn't come from a place of pride, in the sense of like, I want to present myself like, okay, I have it figured out. Okay. It comes from a place of, back in the days, you better act up or they're going to kill you. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even to this day, unfortunately, you better act up or you might get shot, you know, from people who are supposed to protect you, unfortunately, you know? Yeah. And so those are heavy topics, but it's just, it goes into every part of your parenting when you're raising your child.
Okay.
There's like this pressure.
Okay. So we'll just say it out loud. There's pressure.
Yes.
And unfortunately, other cultures have automatically more pressure because of the social climate, which is ridiculous, by the way, and ungodly in the sense that all men were created equal.
Yeah.
And all have intrinsic value to add to one another and to society as a whole.
Yeah.
And in God's eyes.
For
and
sure.
All are, sorry, I'm like,
let them know,
because I love you. So. everybody is a direct reflection of God, whether they believe in him or not, because he says that I made man in my image.
Yeah.
So even if they haven't chosen to love Jesus or love God, they are still a mere image at some level.
Yes, that's real.
Anyway, I just want to say I love
Tell
you.
Tell girl, I love you too. She's like, sorry. Not my friend.
Exactly. Oh, fight me. Hold me back. Sorry. Don't nobody mess with my friends. Who's your mama? I'll show you my mama. Anyway, sorry. So there is pressure, and it's human to feel shame and guilt when someone you have raised and invested so much time and energy, whether you ignore your kids or not, you've had to feed them, right?
Yes.
You've had to put a lot of time into them. You know, you've wiped their butt for like 3 to 5 years, depending on your kids' body habits. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of blood, sweat, tears, and emotional baggage and that has gone into this. So when they don't live up to what we have in our heads of what they should do and be like, we got some tension and some emotions to sift through.
Yes. So it's like, I feel like a failure.
Yeah, for sure. So one thing is, I guess all I'm saying, cause I don't have answers, is that it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my mama would tell me that, only let that feeling live there for a second and then move on from it, because once they reach adolescence, psychologically speaking, actually the voice that is the biggest impact on them is their peers. It's no longer their parent. That's why when you're like kids are in like early elementary mm-hmm. and right before middle school, they're like, they most of the time do what you say. And you're like, yeah. Oh, they're so sweet. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden they get in middle school and you're like, what the heck?
Have thoughts and opinions.
Yeah. What the yes. heck happened to my sweet little yes. kid?
Uh-huh. They want to debate you.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're no longer the most important voice in their life.
Yeah.
You no longer hold the ultimate influence.
I was going to say the most influential voice in their life.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. While you're still there, just yeah. right now in their psychological development, it's their peers. Mm-hmm. And like kids, like what... whether they know they're an actor or not, they're all acting. They're putting on different hats to see what
fits. Yeah.
What fits better. Yeah. Like they play this sport. Do I like it? No. Mm-hmm. Do I take this class? Because I want to try it and see if I like it. Do mm-hmm. I like this style of movie or this style of movie?
Yeah.
Like they're trying to figure it all out. Like what type of friend do I want?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And their prefrontal cortex, the part that executive functioning that's in charge of like rational decision mm-hmm. and like smart things and like organization and making sure you don't stink. Like it's not developed. It ain't developed. So
sure you don't stink.
So I'm just saying that perhaps we should lower our expectations in your own mind. Like your mind's eye of your expectation for your kids should be brought down. I think that kids and everybody rises to the level of expectation held at them. But yeah. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I still don't have answers to that. But what I do know is it's normal to feel that. And then two, this is what I have just clung to as a mama who loves Jesus and is trying to raise kids that love Jesus too.
Yeah.
And it is this found in James 1:5. It says, if one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously yes. to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Wisdom is one of the things that you can ask for and receive.
Yeah.
Literally, it says there, without finding fault, he will generously give it. Yeah. So you can ask for wisdom.
Without shame.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
A lot lately. Give me wisdom, dear Lord, because I screwed up my kids.
Yes. I think a part of it, too, is a couple things. One, for me, what I've done to manage those feelings is deal with the root of why I'm feeling the shame or why I'm feeling the guilt.
Okay.
And ooh. So just kind of
she's going deep, guys. She's like, you got some work to do.
Yes.
These feelings are normal, but they're coming from somewhere. So let's see.
That's exactly. Yes. And so just addressing certain traumas or certain cultural things that have been passed down, addressing that, acknowledging it, and then debunking the things that are not from God or not healthy.
Yes.
And so like doing the work to, so that I can give the tools to my kids and that when they have children and they come to me, I can present, you know, healthy advice and not pass down the same trauma.
Exactly. So you're passing down advice and not feelings.
Yes, exactly. And ooh. Not pressures.
And not pressures.
Yes. Because that is one thing I will say, not to veer off, but keeping in the topic of managing the feelings, that a lot of times in the Black community, I can't speak for any other one because I'm not a part of it, but
totally fine.
We will, when our children have children, mm-hmm. we will be extra critical of them instead of recognizing what that criticism did to us and the pressures that it put on us. We do the same thing and we pass it down. It's like, why are you letting them do that? Why are you having to do that? Oh, you should do it like this. Why are you not like that?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the parenting from the parents looks like that instead of like the healed version of, I remember these pressures. I remember how hard it was. How can I be a help to my child instead of, you know, with my grandchild, instead of being another voice that feeds that same
yeah.
negative pressure?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to, there was a situation that we alluded to earlier. I'm not going to give details. I'm not going to tell you who, but I don't know if this is like prideful to say, but I'm really proud of myself for the way that I responded.
Yay.
Is that good? You can yeah. be proud of yourself
you can.
When you see that you've
good job.
Grown. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Seti.
Yeah.
Okay, so a situation happened that I actually came into while it was happening. Okay. And I didn't. I immediately saw what was going on. It was immediately a breach of trust between mother and daughter. It was a breach of trust between herself and other things. And so in that moment, I literally just said, hey, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to
sort out
your situation, and then I'm going to come back. And I literally walked out of the room, and I really did give her 5 minutes. Yay. To, you know, well, she's probably freaking out. Like, my mom is in here. My mom knows what just happened. Mm-hmm. I didn't freak out. I said it so calm. And it was only, I honestly think it was the spirit.
Yeah.
Because I should have like yelled and be like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But I didn't. I was like, you know what?
You shouldn't have. You handled it perfect.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Well, this is where my mind went. One, I was a teenager once.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine. And I know the things that I did.
Yeah.
So this still hasn't topped what I did.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I was a teenager once, and I didn't have technology. So I don't even know what I would have done. Mm-hmm. And then, so I reflected on all the bad things that I've done. And I am an advocate for removing shame off of people, because I know that God is not a God of shame. He's not a God of condemnation.
Yeah.
Right? He's a God that forgives. Do we accept that we have done sin and should be remorseful and there is an uncomfortable feeling that is there? Yes, 100%. But we're not supposed to live in it. Yeah. We're supposed to accept it, take ownership of it, and move on.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want any of that on her. She's in a vulnerable position already. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to cast on shame. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure she knew that she just did something stupid.
Yeah.
And you don't even know who, because all my teenagers are girls. So ha, you know? And so then I came back 5 minutes later. I said, is there anything you want to tell me? You know, I asked questions. She told me. Again, we didn't even give discipline for like 2 days because we had to figure out what was going on. I mean, obviously there was immediate ones. Yeah. Like, none of our teenagers have smartphones anymore. Okay. We just went ahead and bought them old school flip phones.
Flippity flip.
Flippity flip, man. You got to do the Morse code. Actually, it actually has predictive text, but there's no social media on there. Yeah. It's a little bit smarter than a dumb phone, but it's pretty close.
Nice.
And on some of them, they don't have access to the internet. Because while the internet is good, I think when your prefrontal cortex is not fully developed and you have shown me that you can't be trusted, then the internet's just not a friend for you right now. Unmonitored.
Yeah.
You know, and having a child have a smartphone is a level of trust, even with, and you guys have to understand, teens are so smart. They can get around every single parental control. I will tell you this on iPhones. There is literally, correct me if I'm wrong, there is no way to not let them have access to the internet. There are ways to get around it. So parental controls only can do so much, but them kids, they figure it out.
We have an Android.
Praise them. It's like, no.
I think they can, but definitely I got it.
Yeah.
Sealed kind of.
So,
tight.
So I weighed the consequences and I'm like, you know what? I'm doing it. Yeah. So I did it. And we told them, like, one, this isn't just because of this one person's action. One of the reasons is because we've seen that your smartphones have isolated you in a full house full of people, whether you're in your room or literally on your phone. There's like a silo of attention that's just right on their phone. Mm. You know, and it's not just homework. It's like watching YouTube. You're on apps. Yeah. Did you know kids don't even like text their friends anymore? They like Snapchat them.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just like message and call anyway? So now that's all they can do is call them or text them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them are freaking out because the whole world is on there. And I'm like, no, they're not. And you're going to learn real fast that they're not.
The withdrawal from the addiction. You know?
Yes. Yes. And that's why we did it, is because they're still in our roof. So we have an opportunity to show them that life still goes on and you can still have successful relationships void of social media. And even the internet. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how they've been doing it for centuries. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So I don't know what that was. I just felt like, airing my dirty laundry.
I think it goes into steps that we can, because the second question is, what steps can we take to ensure our, what steps can we take to ensure our children learn from their mistakes and it doesn't become a recurring issue? I think how you handled it initially, I think that was huge, because the way that you responded, it didn't give shame. It wasn't condemnation. Like, there was a moment where you paused in self-control. And
is that what that was? Oh my gosh.
That was the Holy Spirit way of handling it for sure. Because lack of self-control is, my emotions are running and I'm angry and you're going to know I'm angry and you're going to
feel
bad.
The wrath of mom.
Yes. But self-control and wisdom says, okay, wait.
Take a beat.
Stop.
Holy Collaborate Spirit. And listen.
What's next? Yeah. Everything is in an immediate immediate response. And that's one thing that I've kind of had to learn, because I'll be like, we need to talk about it now, we need to, and then it's like my husband, he'll be like, no, actually let's pray, like we don't have to give the punishment right now, we can give it tomorrow, we can give it in 2 days, like let's breathe, let's pray, let's talk it over, let's talk to them, let's like let this be a process.
It I bet you that be... tension for them, their feeling is so bad, like what's coming.
Yeah,
that's a part of the their imagination is making it worse for them.
That's a part of the learning experience. that feel of this uncertainty of am I gonna get a whooping. No. No, but I think it's good, because it allows the child to reflect too before they get their consequence, so they can run through all the scenarios of I was wrong, or what could I have done different, before you're telling them what was wrong or what they could have done different. So
for sure,
I think it's pausing and giving them the opportunity to learn from their mistakes before we're doing the work for them.
Yeah. There's this verse that has been super comforting. It's in Proverbs 22:6. It says, start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one we use.
So I've been like clinging to this, and I've just been aware that children have their own personality. Like every individual was created by God, even your children. And yes, they share half of you and half of you know, your spouse or wherever, you know, or if you adopted somebody, you know, they have two parts of different people coming together. So it's something new. Mm-hmm. But God did all that, and God knows, and he knows their everything about them. Yeah. And so everybody's different. I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm just saying that some people have a bigger fight in the teen years than other people. And that's because personalities are different and parenting styles are different.
Callings are different too.
Yeah.
Like sometimes people who have outwardly big callings, I would say, like a crusader or, you know what I mean? Like someone who, I don't want to even use that name. I was going to use a name, but like someone who's called to be out in the public.
Yeah.
There might be a different level of attacks on them in those years, because the enemy is trying to get them to shift directions in they're called to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even that pressure is a whole different pressure for teens too. So
that's true.
I think when you add that on there, but speaking to that scripture that you just said, the big point of that is trusting God. And it's trusting that no matter what I'm seeing in these teenage years, no matter the mistakes that my children are making, I know that I've invested seeds, and I believe God that he'll give me a harvest regardless of when it shows up.
Oh, yeah.
And so sometimes we want to be in control so that we can feel comfortable.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, I controlled your action. You didn't do this. You did. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like we put this almost like bubble wrap too around them to not have mistakes, because that's where we feel confident in our parenting. But I think trusting God is saying, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to set the healthy boundaries. When I see some things, I'm going to adjust. But I'm ultimately going to trust your salvation. I'm going to trust your relationship with God. I'm going to leave that to God. I'm going to trust the Lord that he will work that all out regardless of what journey you have to take to get there. I'm going to trust that the seeds that are being planted will yield a harvest eventually.
I think that's called like faith.
Yeah.
That's a long game too.
Yes. Yeah. But it's hard when we're seeing them display things that don't line up, but.
Right. Right. But know that this is just like a season of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just get like pray for wisdom.
Yes.
Obviously, like my husband's mom says this thing where teenagers keep you on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yes.
They almost in a way force you to have a strong prayer life, because you always got things to pray for.
Look, I think teenagers and young adults, because I've heard some stories of some young adults that keep these parents on their face and fasting.
Yeah.
So if you got a young adult too,
should we ever stop praying? I'm starting to get the picture that no,
never. I think the prayers just change, like the prayer point.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so if we could break this down, one, like ask for wisdom. He generously gives it.
Yeah.
So when you come to a situation where you don't know what to do with your kid, literally pray and ask for wisdom, because he's going to give it to you.
For sure.
It's a promise. Also, realize that even if you didn't seed when they were younger, let's just say you just started going to church and your kids are like, you know, 9 or 8 or 13, you're just starting to plant your seeds. Mm-hmm. So even amongst everybody's planting season is different based on when you encounter God or when your season of planting into your kids has started. Mm-hmm. There's no judgment on that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because God's timing is perfect. So whenever that is, just be faithful to keep sowing those seeds of gentleness, of grace,
yes,
of mercy, of boundaries.
Yes.
All them fruits of all them, all the fruits of the spirit, you mm-hmm. know,
yeah.
I think that's the best thing we can do. But if we could leave you with anything, I'll go first with what I would encourage in them is one, those things, but two is to walk confidently in a daughter of a king, not needing to know how to do everything right, but knowing that he is standing there in this fight with you.
Yeah.
And that your children's actions are not a direct reflection of you.
Yeah.
Because they have their own personalities and they make their own choices.
Yeah.
I can't say that 100%, you know, because
I was like a little bit of a Mara part of it.
I know that, but not, you know what I'm saying? You can uh-huh. only do so much.
Yeah.
At that stage, you have influence.
Yes, for sure.
Anyway, I just want to say you're not alone.
Yes, for sure.
And you can work through this and you can get through this. Yeah. I don't know. That's all I have to say.
And I second that.
No, can I get an amen?
Amen. I agree. I think at the end of the day, with any and everything in our life, especially, you know, the job of parenting that is the most honorable, I believe, is we just have to have faith, trust God that in our intentions as we move throughout life and we make decisions, that if our intentions are to honor God and to do a good job with the things that he's placed in our life to manage, that he will make the difference up. He will cover the difference. His yeah. grace will cover
yeah.
the areas, even that maybe we haven't done the best job in our yeah. parenting, or yeah. we've been relaxed, or we've been too tight. Like the Holy Spirit will cover in the gaps, fill in the yeah. gaps. And so,
I just want to make clear that your intentions mean that you're actually taking action on setting up boundaries, on making
you're parenting
rhythms.
Intentionally.
Exactly. Like you're having action in this parenting.
Yeah.
And
not your thoughts. Like exactly. I wish, I hope,
I'm
but
vibing,
I mean,
like be a good kid. Yeah, love yes. Jesus real hard. Like uh-huh. you're, you know.
But you never have conversations or plant seeds.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, in your intentions in action, your action, yeah. your yeah, yeah, yeah. actual action.
He will cover the rest.
He will cover the rest. Because
Go ahead.
Is this
no,
my,
I'm being
is
rude.
This
I'm
my
being rude. I know.
Thoughts or yours?
Sorry. Okay. I hear you. All right. I'm shutting up now.
No, I think that that's it, basically. I agree with her. Trust the Lord.
Shut
the
up.
Holy Spirit will cover the gaps. In Jesus' name, amen.
The floor is yours for real this time, Seti.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
No, I got nothing else to say.
I love what you have to say because you're in teaching mode. And it's good because you're living it, you know? You're living it. So get it out.
Well, I forgot.
See? We're not perfect.
We're not perfect.
Well, okay. I think that's good. And I think whatever suggestions you have, please leave them in the comment section. Let's keep the conversation going. And this might be a topic that we have to even pick up another day. I think
oh, for
it's
sure.
a full topic. So, I mean, it was fun. We love you. Any last thoughts?
I don't know. I've been humbled and put in my place. So I don't know.
Be led by the Spirit. How about that?
No, I think this is it. And I just, the big thing is you're not alone in this. There are mamas that have grown kids now that, you mm-hmm. know, have wisdom to depart on you. So my advice would be find one of them.
Yeah.
Ask them questions and have a friend that's older than you.
Yeah.
You
yes.
know,
uh-huh.
Before there was internet and Facebook groups and mops, there were people.
The village.
There was the village, and you were friends with everybody, young mm-hmm. and old, and that's how they dispensed information, you yeah. know, orally. They would just tell you.
Yeah.
And so I encourage you to do that.
Yes.
Befriend somebody older than you
yes.
and ask them questions.
For
okay.
Sure.
Okay. So.
We love you.
We love you. And that's about all we got for today. And yeah, we good.
All right.
Okay. How we turn this thing off?
Hey, it's Emily here. I just wanted to thank you on behalf of Satricia and I for listening to the Messy Faith podcast and allowing us to speak into your life. And hey, we don't want it just one way. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at any time through our website, our email at ask@messyfaith.com. You can like us on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you listen to us at. And hey, we'd love a little review. Can't wait to hear from you.